famous reason from the early Buddhist text. And there is something which the Buddha again and again seems to talk about, that we need to cultivate together the stability, calmness, unification of mind, and we also need to cultivate looking deeply inside, discernment. And so there is these two qualities we try to develop in meditation. And so a lot of the time, I mean, the Buddha say you can start, you have people who cultivate first the stability, then they cultivate the inquiry. Some start with the inquiry, then they go to the stability. Some do it both together. And so often there is quite a lot of emphasis on cultivating concentration, calmness, stillness. And so today I thought we would explore more the other aspect of the meditation, which is looking deeply, inquiry, discernment. And the way I want to do this, especially in the morning, is actually to try, in terms of the meditation, to see the difference. Because you see, what we do when we are trying to cultivate the looking deeply, the inquiry, it is not so much. I mean, as the Buddha said, you can develop wisdom, intelligence, discernment. You can have your own. I think this is very important, that the Buddha said there are three types of inquiry, discernment, wisdom. And the first one is the one which comes from our own understanding. So we already have that ability to look, to inquire, to discern, to have wisdom. Then the second type is a type which comes from others, like we listen to others, and then it kind of helps us to develop ideas, develop wisdom, develop inquiry. And then you have the third type, which is the one we develop, the discernment, wisdom we develop through the practice. And so that's what, in a way, I want to look at today. The discernment, the wisdom we develop through practice. And in a way, the practice, in terms of the inquiry, I think the best way we can do it in terms of the meditation is by being aware of impermanence, being aware of change. We can also be aware of unreliability, but that becomes a tiny bit abstract sometimes. And then we can also be aware of not self. And so I thought this morning we would work more on change, trying to be aware of change in the experience. And what I wanted to try to look at today was being first aware of change of something external, like sounds, for example. And then to look at being aware of change in terms of our physical sensation. And to look a little, to explore a little, because the way it's going to work, I'm going to talk a little now, then we'll have sitting meditation, walking meditation, sitting meditation, and then we'll have a discussion. And then we can discuss about what you tried out, what you experienced. And then in the afternoon, I thought we could look more at, in terms of the meditation, this strange thing we can call self, or selfing. How do we self? And how can we inquire into selfing? So that we'll keep for this afternoon. And I thought this morning we can look at change. But to see, we sit in meditation. So when we sit in meditation, we cultivate within this tradition mindfulness, awareness. So in order to do that, we generally also, of course, cultivate concentration, just trying to anchor in experience, either on the breath, either on the sounds, either on the body. But I thought the first sitting, we could focus more, just try to use as an anchor the sounds. So just listening to the sounds. And so using the listening as an anchor, but also looking at the fact that the sound change. and the sounds change in two ways. They can arise and pass away, arise and pass away. And so since we have a window open, actually it's quite good because we can hear the sound of the car or the birds or whatever is outside. And notice the sound comes and goes. And also the when the sound continues, like if you have a little rumble of something of the traffic, notice that it also changes within itself. So that we not only cultivate the anchoring, but we try today to cultivate what is called vipassana. Because vipassana meditation is look, vipassana means to look deeply. So to inquire experientially. So it's not so much, it's not commenting on something of kind of theorizing on something, but it's kind of trying to go inside the experience. So trying to experience the sounds coming and going. Trying to be in the experience of the rumbling changing within itself. And so it's kind of, instead of us, in a way kind of thinking about it, it's like this, it's like that, either scientifically, analytically, psychologically, or whatever. It's really going to where the sound is, how, in a way, we are in connection with the sound, we're able to be aware of the sound, to be mindful of the sound, and then to be aware of that fact that the sounds arise and pass away. The sounds change within themselves. So just trying to, so it's kind of like you are anchoring in the sound and then you add, I would say, a little brightness to the awareness, to the mindfulness. Because that's what really, I would say, the function of the inquiry in meditation is to use the ability of the mind to be bright. The ability of the human being to have kind of like a brightness, a vividness. And so we bring that to the meditation. But we have often, when there is brightness in the mind, we often have this association of lots of thinking, lots of commenting, thinking, analyzing. When here, we actually want to use the brightness of the mind that we can be aware in a clear way of something, just to, in a way, I would nearly say, be more aware of it. More aware of how it is, how it appears, how it comes to be, how it comes and goes. So that's where so it's kind of like the awareness is there, and it's kind of like there is a little more attentiveness to the change. So that's for the first meditation. It would be nice to focus on the sound, to listen to the sound. And then the next, then we'll have the walking meditation, which I will explain. And then we'll have the second sitting meditation. And there, what I like to do is for us to be more aware of the body. Just be aware of sensations in the body. Because sensation, in a way, like the sounds, unless I gurgle and do things, generally the sounds are external. They're like, I would could say, impersonal more. They just don't depend on me, they depend on all kind of other conditions. But the sensations, it's much more difficult in a way with sensation to not, this pain in the knee, or this itch, or this, and it's me, I am having this experience, and it's going to last forever. This is one of the things about the inquiry. I think, personally, one of the functions of the inquiry is the fact that it dissolves this tendency we have to think that when we are in contact with something, and especially something which is within us, a thought, a feeling, a sensation, then we generally, very quickly, identify with it. This is me, this is mine. And especially if it's negative, it's terrible, it's awful. I don't want it to be that way. I mean, we have And also we generally have a tendency to think it will last forever. And so that's why the second meditation, if we could be aware of just the sensation in the body. And can we be aware of sensation in the body and to see the difference? That's what is also to look. We can do that in the discussion to look. When I was just aware of the sound, was it easier to see, yes, this is impermanent. Yes, this arrive and pass away, change within itself. Then with a sensation where I have more kind of like input, you could say, emotional input. This is my pain, this is my knee, and I don't want it to be that way. I mean, especially if you sit on the floor, you might have more experience of that nature. But even sitting on the chair, or even with the air, you know, some people might feel sitting there, it's too hot. I feel too hot. This is terrible. I hate feeling hot. Why did I come here? Why are not they repairing the radiator? What's going on? And this is just for feeling a little hot. Or you could, you know, like you sit there and you feel the air coming from the window and saying, I am cold. I'm really cold. I hate being cold. England is terrible. I mean, you know, and then, you know, this spring is awful, this spring. You know, it's all because of global warming not working properly, whatever. And then you could really, from just the fact that you sit in there and feel cold, you could really proliferate and really kind of go for different places. And so in a way to explore that, in a way to explore the contact, so you're sitting in meditation, you can just be aware of the contact, the coolness of the air or the hotness of the air. You can also be aware of sensations in the body. So you can go to the sensation themselves, or you can do body sweeping if you used to do that. And just as you go through the body, notice that actually we have different sensations in different parts of the body, and we relate to them in a different way. You know, it's different if you have like a little pain in the knee, than if you just feel the coolness of the air on the cheek, than if you feel an itch on your cheek, and you feel, oh, I am getting a pimple, but I'm going to a party tonight. I must not have a pimple, or whatever. Oh, this is so itchy, or whatever. So it's kind of, in a way, sensation. Sensation, we generally have quite some reaction with sensation in the body. I mean, you can have a little sensation and within 5 minutes you see yourself on your deathbed. Yeah. I mean, you could have a sensation for a very good reason because you have an illness. But I think sometimes it's like we can really proliferate very easily. If we have a certain illness, if we have a tendency to have a certain pain, again, how can we be with it? And that's what is very interesting when we have like regular pain, is actually to go inside the experience and to notice that it changes, that it arises, it passes away, and it also changes within itself. Once I was, and this is in a way what I would call the power of inquiry. And this is really something, I know sometimes people say, oh, too much thing, I can't, but I think this is something we develop with the meditation, is a power of inquiry, the power of discernment, the fact that at some point we can make the choice to use the power of wisdom, of discernment, of inquiry. Many years ago, I mean, I have a tendency to get sciatica. And so I just was teaching something like that, but it was Zen style. So we had walked, and I was having sciatica. So we walked on a wooden surface, which actually was not so good for me. And then I sit, and I'm sitting down, and I'm going to have to be there for the bell for 30 minutes, and my leg is on fire. Really, I've never had such pain in my leg. really was like throbbing and firing and really painful. And I thought, if I grasp at this, if I proliferate with this, the 30 minutes are going to feel like, you know, a week. It will be like every minute will be like, you know, I'm going to die. But instead, I use that, what we develop today is the power of discernment, the power of inquiry. And so I just then decided to just go inside the sensation and just be with the sensation as it was throbbing, moving, changing. And actually the 30 minutes went quite fast. And it did not stop me from going and taking some painkiller. But it was interesting, the difference between me sitting there, ay, 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 this is terrible, this is awful, too, in a way engaging, creatively engaging with the sensation, going inside the sensation, and not thinking, this is happening to me, this is terrible, why is it happening to me, or whatever, just, okay, this is a sensation right now. How can I be, how can I go inside this sensation and really be with it as it happened without that, what I would call the sticky selfie? And then the relationship with it was very different. I was just in the experience of it. Or another time, I was doing a retreat for a month, and within 3 days, I had really quite a bad pain in the stomach. And then, of course, I could have gone, you know, this is terrible, then if it's like this for the next 28 days, I can't meditate, or whatever it was. But instead, I decided again to use a discernment, this creative awareness. And actually, what I observe, this is the thing with this creative inquiry, is that it enables us to be differently with the condition. And so, you are. So I was able to notice that I was not always in pain. The pain depending on many different things, what I ingested, but also if I went for a walk or if I lie down. And then when I sat in meditation, I went, you know, time to time, observe the sensation in the stomach. And what was fascinating was that actually, at times, it totally was not there. It was not there, it was gone. And then it would be there again, then it was gone again. And just to know that, you see, if we have a, if we grasp at the sensation and we straight away go into it's always there, it's too much, then actually it has a tendency to lengthen it, the feeling we have about it. It's a bit what like the Buddha talked in the, I don't know if you're aware of this text, when the Buddha talks about two arrows. He says, you have a, let's say, a physical pain, and because something happened to you. And so you feel the pain. It's not painful. But if you add to that anguish around the pain, selfing around the pain, then you're going to have another pain, which is more like a mental pain than a physical pain. And he says, like if you have two arrows, somebody shoots an arrow, and then immediately after he shot another arrow, and then you have two pain. And so I think in a way this inquiry can really help us there to notice what is it? Am I actually anxious because of the pain itself? Or am I anxious about being anxious about the pain? So it's kind of, in a way, what we add to it. And I think the creative inquiry helps us to be with the thing itself without adding to it. So that's what I would suggest during the sitting meditation, trying to, okay, the second sit, just to be aware. First to be aware of sensation of contact, and then to be aware of stronger sensation. Go inside the sensation as it feels, as it comes, as it arises, and notice again that it comes, it goes, and if you stay a while, it seems to change within itself. So this is what I would like to explore today. Any question about this? Or is this relatively clear? Has anybody not done any meditation before? So everybody has meditated before. Okay. And to see, this is very much part often when we think of wisdom, when we think of inquiry, when we think of discernment. You sometimes can, you know, think about what I would call grandiose theory, like Buddhist theory of dependent origination or emptiness or whatever it might be. But what is interesting with the Buddha, he really says, he's really into, in a way, being as close as we can, as intimate as we can, with actually the senses. Again and again he says, look at the sense contact. What do you do when you hear something, when you see something, when you feel something, when you taste something, when you smell something? And then to really look at that contact, then to bring inquiry to it in terms of impermanence. And then this afternoon we'll look at it in terms of no self. So that's what I wanted to say this morning.